Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, and they have a program which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their founder is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. And they have Sunday school, which starts at 9 a.m. Sunday mornings, and worship services starts at 10 a.m. They also have Bible study, which starts at 7 p.m. Wednesday evenings. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. Pray that you had a restful night as you laid down before the Lord. Amen. Before we get into the word, we're going to hear a charge, and then we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Look around. Tell me what you see. Nearly a billion people entered the 21st century unable to read a book or sign their names, illiterate and unable to read, not even the Bible. Look around. Tell me what you see. Earthquakes, natural and man-made disasters, political unrest, famine, war, poverty, and disease all around us. The truth of God being trampled and Jesus being scorned by a world in desperate need to encounter Him. Tell me, what do you see? Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And Jesus Christ, the only answer for the world, lives in you and moves through His body, the church. Yet the world says that the church is losing its influence. This cannot be, not on our watch. May the eyes of this generation be opened. 1/6 of the world's population is hungry. Half of the world's population lives on less than $2 a day. Half of all the children in the world live in poverty. More children die from drinking bad water than HIV, AIDS, and malaria combined. And water is the most abundant resource on the planet. Look around. What do you see? Church, how will we respond?
Father, fill us to full and overflow. Let praises rise.
From the inside of me.
Father, may you delight in the inside.
The altar is open. Confess it before him. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Father, which is my reasonable service. Now fill me, Father, right where I am. Fill me. Fill my mind. Fill my thoughts. There's none of me, and there's all of you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, God. Bless your name, Father. Is that your confession this morning? Fill my life. Fill my heart, God. Fill my mind. Fill everything that makes me up, God. Till all they see is you. Glorify your name, God. Hallelujah. As Paul said, I decrease that he may increase. John the Baptist said that. I decrease that he may increase. None of me and all of you, God. Hallelujah. The first song, it was more of a charge than a song, challenging us as a people, as the children of God, as Christians, to open our eyes and to see what's going on in this world. And the challenge is, how will we respond? How will we, as the light of the world, as the salt of the earth, as the children of the Most High God, as sons and daughters of our Father, of ambassadors for Christ, as a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. How will we respond to the things that are going on in this dying and dark world? The answer is to worship. Worship our Father who art in heaven. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. For it's all about you, God. It's all about your kingdom, God. It's all about your message of hope, your message of love, your message of peace, your message of joy, your message of deliverance, your message of salvation, God. Fill me, God. Until all they see is you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Well, thank you once again for calling in. going to get into the word, amen. Last week we spoke on faithlessness versus faithfulness. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. And later that night, the Lord said, I want you to continue this teaching on faithlessness versus faithfulness. So this will be part two under faithlessness versus faithfulness. But the subtitle will be Generation F. Generation F. We're going to be coming out of Romans 3, verses 3 and 4 again. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. Then I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. Amen. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. And it reads, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now I'm going to Amplified Bible, verse 3. What if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word? By no means. Let God be found true. Do every human being, is false and a liar. I'm going to read that again. By no means let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say, and prevail when you are judged by sinful men. As I stated, the title is Faithlessness versus Faithfulness, Part 2. And the subtitle is Generation F. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come before you once again to sit at your feet, God, to even sit on your lap and lay on your bosom, God, to hear your heartbeat, Father, to receive what you will have to say to us. Equip us, Father. Make us ready. Prepare us to do what you've called us to do. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding, God. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who was the example. Thank you for Holy Spirit, God, for his leading and guiding, teaching. Thank you for your angels, God, that you've charged to be encamped around about us, to protect us and keep us in their care, to watch over us, God, to fight off all the fiery darts of the enemy. and to carry out your word, God. We thank you and we praise you just for who you are, Almighty God, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Generation F. We're going to go back over some definitions that is going to help us lay a foundation. Amen. When we read verses 3 and 4, it said, "Let God be true, and every man be a liar." So when we look at the word true, the word true comes from an old English word meaning faithful. So true means faithful. It means steadfast, loyal, honest, just. Being that which is the case rather than what is manifest or assumed. That's what the word true means. And the word liar means a person who tells lies. Just that simple. A liar is a person who tells lies. And then in the Amplified Bible, in verse 3, I'm going to read it. It says, "What if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word?" So the words faithlessness and faithfulness, that's where the title came from. Faithlessness, the faithlessness of man versus the faithfulness of God. The word faithful means full of faith. To be steadfast in affection or allegiance. Faithful means to be loyal. That's what faithful means. To be firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. When I think about this definition, I think about the scripture that says, "Father, all of your promises, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. All the promises of God are already yes and amen." Amen means let it be done. It is so. I agree. And the word faithless means not true to allegiance or duty. Just the opposite of faithful. It means treacherous, disloyal, not to be relied on, untrustworthy, false, to falsify. False is the fact of failing to be true in any manner, ranging from fickleness to cold treachery. That's what faithless means. So I wanted to point out those definitions again. Let's go to Numbers, the 23rd chapter. Numbers 23, verses 19 and 20. Generation F. Numbers 23, 19 and 20. And it reads, God is not a man that he should lie. First of all, it says God is not a man. Because over in Romans, it said, let God be true and every man be a liar. So it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. To repent means that you know you've done something wrong and you're repenting from it. So God is always right. Says, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Whatever God has blessed you, whatever God has blessed, man cannot reverse it. Now let's go to Psalms. Psalms 33. God is not a man that he should lie. Psalm 33. We're going to start at verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. For the word of the Lord is right. Not sometimes. All the time. The word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. So there is no lying when it comes to God's word. If he said it, it shall come to pass. So the question is, did he say it? Now let's go to Titus. Titus, that's right before Hebrews. Titus 1. I'm going to start at verse 1. And it reads, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, do you hear that? Which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So I wanted to establish that God cannot lie. We've seen that he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And we've just seen that he cannot lie. Now let's look at one more. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 10. Going to read a little bit. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 10. And it reads, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." We can stop at where it says God is not unrighteous. Then it goes on to say, "Which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath." This is where I wanted to get to, verse 18. "That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie." Do you hear that? So he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, because his word is right. God does no wrong. I repeat, God does no wrong. That should be a tweet or a Facebook post. And then we saw where it says, it's impossible for him to lie. He cannot lie. And right here it says, "It was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." So I wanted to establish those things, that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. God cannot lie. And then it's impossible for God to lie. That's why he looks at lie as an abomination. He looks at lying as a sin, because it has nothing to do with him, because he is true. This teaching or message is talking about the character, nature, and personality of God the Father of truth and Satan the father of lies. It's talking about the character, the nature, and the personality of God the Father of truth and Satan the father of lies. So the question is, who is your father? I'm thinking about the movie, Remember the Titans, when Denzel playing Coach Boone asked one of the players, Gary, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy, Gary? So, who is your father? Is he the father of truth or the father of lies? Now, let's go to St. John 8 chapter. St. John 8, we're going to begin at verse 41. Generation F. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. St. John 8 chapter, verse 41. And it reads, ye do the deeds of your father. I'm going to start at 39, verse 39. It says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. I'll go back to 33, verse 33. This is Jesus having a conversation with some of the Jews. And it says in verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Because in verse 32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So let's start at 30. St. John 8, chapter, verse 30. And it reads, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Many, meaning not all. Not everybody believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, that's a message right there. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now verse 33 says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. So it's not about works. It's not about serving. It's about sonship. It's about having a relationship with our Father. And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the Son abided ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. Because my word hath no place in you. Jesus' words, the word of God, hath no place in them. I speak that which I have seen my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Because when Abraham heard from God, he obeyed. He did exactly what God said. 41 says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. A lot of people confess that because they do good, because they do good things. But listen to this in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. We established that last week when the angel approached Mary and said, you will have this child. And you will call his name Jesus. And so she questioned him and asked, how can this be, seeing I have not been with the man? I have not had sex. And the angel told her that the seed is coming from God. That which you were born will be born of God. That's what the angel told Mary. So this is what Jesus was telling the Jews. Said, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Not a man. My mother did not have sex with a man. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. His father sent him. Verse 43 says, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So if he abode not in the truth, that means He was in the truth, but as it says in verse 31, if ye continue in my word, so he didn't continue in his word. He didn't continue in truth, talking about this father. Says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We're talking about Satan here. This is who Jesus is saying their father is, the father of lies. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. He or she that is of God heareth God's words. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And as I used to hear when I was a kid, and the truth is not in them. So he was establishing that, no, your father is not Abraham, because Abraham obeyed God, but your father is Satan, the deceiver, the trickster, the manipulator, the devil. The father of lies. That's who your father is. So the question is, who is your father? Generation F. Are you a faithless generation or a faithful generation? Faithlessness equals unbeliever. Faithfulness equals believer. So which one are you? Let's go to St. John. St. John, the 20th chapter, starting at verse 19. St. John 20, verse 19. Generation F. St. John 20 and 19, and it reads, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. This is after Jesus' resurrection. After he had rose from the grave, the disciples were all together in one place. And Jesus appeared unto them and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. But it says that the doors were shut. And verse 20 says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Because when they first saw him, they were afraid because, like I say, the doors were shut. So he just all of a sudden appeared. But when he showed them the holes in his hands and in his side, then they knew who he was. Verse 21 says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, this is Thomas, said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's where the phrase doubting Thomas came from. Because the ones that he were in fellowship with, in relationship with, that he trusted, told him, we've seen Jesus. He's risen. But he said, I hear what y'all are saying, but until I see him for myself, and until I place my hands in his holes, I'm not going to believe it. Verse 26 says, and after 8 days, again his disciples were with them. And Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. This is where I wanted to get to. And be not faithless, but believing. So, to be faithless means not to believe. To be faithless means you're an unbeliever. It says, be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and saith unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So I wanted to point that out about the word faithless. He said, be not faithless. Be not an unbeliever. but believing. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. Generation F. So the question is, which generation are you? Are you a faithful generation or are you a faithless generation? I can tell now that there's a third part because I haven't gotten to everything. So there will be a part three. But God has laid his foundation of he being true and he being faithful and Satan being a liar and faithless. So this teaching is talking about the character, the nature, and the personality of God, the Father of truth, and Satan, the father of lies. So the question is, who is your father? Are you a believer? Are you an unbeliever? Are you faithless or are you faithful? Or are you faithful? So we're going to stop here and continue next week with part three. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding, God. And thank you for showing us the differences between faithlessness and faithfulness. We thank you and we praise you for who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for calling in. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. Love you. God bless you.